Kia ora, this is episode 34 of Better Off Red, and this is Faith Wilson introducing Sorority.
Sorority, an evening of readings from some of Te Whanganui Atata's finest women of colour. Identifying as a woman of colour means that you are in a constant battle with tokenism and the urge to resist or to accept this, whether strategically or unconsciously. Your inclusion in mainstream events is always political. Your acceptance is political. Your non-acceptance or ignorance is political. Yet many of us successfully navigate both worlds. This is never easy. It's always a decision, fight or flight. But something that makes the fight more worth it is the sisterhood or sorority that you have with others who have chosen to keep saying something, to keep opening their mouths in a system of oppression and exclusion that says shut the fuck up. Tonight's readers all have voices at varying degrees of volume, but all are relevant and need to be heard. The many voices can make a choir or a cacophony. Whatever the noise is, it won't be ignored.
Jim Wilder. Unfurled. Halsey found a curdy skin, tightly rolled and brittle, in the basement of a Whanganui museum back before the H was returned. He built it an acid-free kennel, put in a saucer of distilled water that he kept topped up as if the dog could lap at it, and waited, as patient as the cootie itself, standing on the prow of a waka on that long journey, a living figurehead, anticipating landfall when it would finally have enough space to unfurl. Leilani. I am having my picture taken to send back home to my sister. I am having my picture taken, and I will send it to my sister, and she will put it on the wall next to our mother. I am wearing the dress with the bolero jacket that Bob's sister helped me pick out at Arthur Barnett. She said, I have a brooch of mother's that will go nicely with that, and she gives it to me after church on Sunday. She doesn't really want to give it to me, but she doesn't wear jewellery, so there is no reason for her to keep it. Bob's sister is a sensible woman who can't have children of her own. My sister wears jewellery. I am having my picture taken to send to my sister, and I am wearing my new dress and my new jacket and my brooch, and I know my sister will be jealous. I have had my hair set and I caught the bus without any children. I am having my picture taken by a man who is telling me to smile, and I am smiling, and he is telling me to smile, but I am smiling. I am having my picture taken to send back home to my sister, who looks like me. She has looked like me from the first. She could look in the mirror and see me. Bob says, when is your sister coming over? But I don't know. Bob's sister says, doesn't Leilani look lovely? And I feel like one of the children. Bob says, you should get your picture taken for your sister. So I'm having my picture taken by a man who is telling me to smile, love, but I am smiling. Bob says, you should get your picture taken for your sister. He does not know about the mirror. Cyclone season. I heard that when the rain came, you stood outside, bare feet rooted in warm mud, and washed your hair, an earth goddess. But what did you do when the wind came, screaming across the ocean, uprooting trees, its temper even more fearsome than yours? I heard those stories too, the ones where you swung a rubber hose and brought it down on dirt brown legs, as skinny as saplings. Parental advice. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Work hard. Go to church on Sunday. Don't say anything at all. Say please and thank you. Always wear clean underwear in case you get hit by a bus. Say please and thank you. Always join the union. In case you get hit by a bus, look both ways before you cross the road. Always join the union. never work in place of someone on strike. Look both ways before you cross the road. Never trust the police. Secrets and lies. I'm 8 years old. It's the day before my first Holy Communion, which means it's the day of my first reconciliation. The priest wants me to unburden myself, tell him my deepest, most secret sins. He looks and looks at me. I falter, keep him busy with tales of sibling rivalries. He can't know what goes deeper, or I might not get to wear the white broderie anglaise dress, which makes me look appropriately pious. I'm 15 years old, watching Empire Records with my family. That's Steven Tyler's daughter, my brother's girlfriend says. You can tell, just look at her lips. I look and look at her lips. I'm 17 years old. I go to my friend's birthday party, although there aren't really enough of us to call it a party. Tamara couldn't come because she's grounded, but her boyfriend is there. He has floppy blonde hair and acne, but not too much. He's older than us, which makes him cooler than he really is. He dances close, tries to hold my hand. I feel a rush of blood to my cheeks and a rush of something else somewhere else. Liv Tyler is wearing a short plaid kilt and a fuzzy pale blue sweater. I hate that sweater. It's feminine and soft and asinine and saccharine. Liv Tyler isn't cute. Liv Tyler takes speed and fucks shit up and kisses boys on rooftops. Liv Tyler stands in front of her hero and takes off that awful sweater, shows us her red lace bra. Liv Tyler removes the tiny kilt, stands in white cotton panties. Not knickers or undies, panties. White cotton panties can't keep any secrets. I'm 25. Kristen Stewart is on the cover of Nylon and I'm looking and looking again. Maybe it's her makeup. There's info on the contents page about what products she's wearing. I want to look like that, I think. I buy lavender eyeshadow. I buy coral lip gloss. Transactions over cosmetic counters as modern day confessions. Bless me, Bobby Brown, for I have sinned. I've been lying to myself again. Kristen Stewart is hanging out at the beach with a gal pal. The article uses words like intimate and close and good friend. They lean together, heads tilted towards each other. I look and look at the photo. Their hats conceal my view. I can't tell what eyeshadow she's wearing, but I look. I look. Sorority. I would take a fist for any one of those girls. She holds her knuckles tight, tiny handle, bird bones and tan, oversized Loyola sweatshirt, Britney Spears posters on the wall, dirty dishes in the sink. This place has never looked so clean. House proud on hazing week, teenaged girls in and out, a tag team of shift workers, hopeful slaves. The fierce Panamanian keeps dancing, translates Oye Como Va, orders her young guest to drink. In the morning, the girl stumbles out of her room, sheepish, leaves. They can't say no, the Panamanian had told us. My friend and I roll our eyes, superior. We've convinced ourselves we're in love and are pining for men whose distance is more than geographical. By the end of the year, I've forgotten about the love of my life, slept with the love of hers. The house is all tension and friction, so we leave it for the oppressive heat of the evening. Head off in search of a bar that will let me in without ID. A black snake crosses the path in front of us. Its wiggling makes it absurd rather than threatening. One might be tempted to make a biblical reference here, but at 20, alcohol is more desirable than knowledge, and we barely skip a beat, keep walking towards hurricanes and phallic plastic cups, back when a weather event was still an abstract novelty, not a disaster of the before and after variety. Those pre-Katrina days when the sins of Catholic girls were anything but original.
Tatable. Schoolyard. Girl gangs with chapped lips and scraped knees, the irony of cum-stained skirts and pink rosaries, ripped hosiery, the imagery of Mother Mary, the solemn chapel, untouched like coarse school books and school lunches, rotten apples. Fight like a girl, the schoolyard's hard, thumb the cross beneath your bra, bloodied braces and bloodied thighs. Girls are made from spit and spice, and we don't play nice and we don't fight fear. Pestle switchblades in our hair, Bambi eyes and eyelet lace, perversely sacred to this place. A place of worship, small town ghosts, sugar lumps stuck in our throats with candied tears, smarting pink, glitter war paint, blood rose cheeks, the blood of the father, lambs to the slaughter. We are not scared, we're the whole world's daughters. A manifesto of schoolgirl lore, recall the sisters who fell before. Tangaroa, I was hungry when I met you. I lost my youth. I walked into the seas ever slowly. But when the throes of imagination ceased, I asked you to come with me. You were kind to me. You were blind to me. But when I started drowning, you said, I will not wait for you. You know I would have dug a grave for you. So you waded through my fears into the arms of another lover. And the ache began again. Tangaroa dragged me under. Fruit. I remember Decembers of wild strawberries and love letters, sipping lemonade and spit with all the bad boys on the swing sets. We stole cigarettes from our grandparents and handed them out like scriptures, sunlight burning up our scalps, the smell of chlorine and cremation. Always heated agitation, eating oranges in the garden. Cut hydrangeas for the bedroom, where everything goes to die. But we kept some for the pulpit and draped ourselves like garlands around our fathers and our Lord, preaching prophets and watching porn. And it's always in the summer when I remember that red telephone and how we used to wilt when strange boys whispered where to meet. Getting drunk at the elementary school and lying in the street, the concrete warm and always breathing, the taste of apples and dark asphalt. This is a series of baby poems. One, we've been sleeping on my old mattress every night, playing camping by our Christmas tree. I prefer artificial starlight. Two, you are soft when your hands find my throat like I am cotton candy, rotten and dissolving under your tongue. Three, drunk dialing, you are my 111. The emergency is I'm seeing heaven, but I can't feel it. Four. You love like a pale blue pill. I like the way you give me big wet eyes like I always had when I was a baby. Five. I want to be a peach so ripe I burst before I am bitten. Six. The only godly thing I want to be is a Venus flytrap. I want to snap your neck when my teeth meets your skin. Seven. And devouring you, I flower. I want to grow again. It was when I started murdering that I stopped being afraid. Kaleidoscopes. Boys make you collapse like stars folding in on themselves. At night, we watch them burning up beneath the dark offcasts of this city. Back up home, your mother has a heart attack. Cracked orange vinyl is your temporary coffin. Her chamomile is kept warm by blurry television and starry technicolor. Ambulances leave soft glows behind them. I kiss you clinically. Your heart is bubbled. We sit cross-legged and you play with the kaleidoscope. I think you want to cry, but you don't. Mothers. I am from a line of wild women, born like Aphrodite in the East Coast Sea. They helped me to move violently. I was always too tough to touch softly. So hold me with hands filled with roses and soil. Spoil me with the lushes of the land and fresh fruit. Let me come to you with the jawbone of a whale. Parts of blood spilt between us. Our skin never pales.
Anahita Gilday. From the heart. To speak from the heart, one must first be willing to tell the truth without embellishment or apology, and have the courage to accept that those to whom you speak may poke their fingers in their ears before you've properly started and hop around the room going la 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 la, or storm out and slam the door, leaving broken window panes, which you'll be paying for, since they will never speak to you again, Or they may pick up the phone with one eye always on you and dial psychiatric services who will take you away since you are clearly insane. And there is never a guarantee that even if they stay there, perched on their seat, nodding at your words with serious and concerned brow, that they will respond in kind or at all, ever. And so you cross your fingers behind your back and ready your list of personal anodynes again, so you can self-medicate the instant they leave, chocolate biscuits, several packets, or a long bath till you've pruned, and by the fumbling fingers and furtive looks toward the door, it'll be both, which means a trip to the dairy after the cash flow machine, since you may as well waste all your money and go to the movies instead of spending the night wishing you'd stuck to topics like washing and weather and just about anything starting with W. Puro puro aki to the Lord my God, weaving the Via Dolorosa. Bro, I notice the absence of korowai at your tangi. I have made you this kahukuri, a taonga for the Ngā Mokai peoples and their descendants. I have just now taken it off the line and folded it with the sun still fresh on its limbs. The unsteady warps and welts of this cloak have caused the taniko along the bottom to crack the horizon. But Muriwai nurtures the embers of our iwi, and this korowai will take on the spirits of every great leader and warrior who walks it. Kahukuri were the war cloaks of chiefs. This sackcloth taonga will be your anchor now. Let go the weight of humanity on your black cross. It will cast threads from the living all the way to Manawatāwhi, where you'll take your last look. And you will recognize that a black line separates the milk of the sky, sheepish and shrouded, from the knuckled gravel where you took your first fall. It was expected, bro. No shame in trying to carry that toe alone. No shame in taking direction. We are all sinners here. If you follow the next break in the horizon, you may think it's an invitation to walk out into the wet, cold ocean and lose your breath underwater. It is not. Instead, look to where the sky has taken up tone, long and arid, clouds formed from my fists, arguing with our tūpuna in there. They don't want you to know that we do fall off into the blackout where the shade has been drawn. Your ancestors and I worked that jute, brother, to get it to bleed like that, with your open shores, your wounds unhealed, te one rangatira. Here we both are, man, kneeling at the foot of all this white, at the beach broken by Christ already, facing the grief. I expect to see your tiny boat out there on the crooked horizon. Sometimes it is enough to sit and look out. Other times you have to walk across bone, stone, and shell. A calling. Come. Come at me now with that clenched mallet of fingers above your head, elbow crooked so you can bully and bully. Come, come and scare me with your crowned dead. Those I have lost stand muscled, tāmoko flying from barges, waka, steamers. Kia mau ki o tūpuna. We made this place out of flax and bone. Come, come ya kari, bring your silver fork. We'll have a kai. Follow me, eh? Tea and sandwiches, out the back, down through the past, and into this dusty lane. Speaking rights. My neighbour is learning te reo. Man, he's proud of his long body of white flicking hair, conquering language. He doesn't feel an inch of guilt. Nothing. He feels nothing. Man, he's proud. I've learned my mihi, he says, where you say your mountain and stuff. He struts and tells me his manga, then his mona. He can tell me where I'm from too. He's found a site that can trace my whakapa before me. Shit, that's good. It's all just on the internet now. Your iwi all the way back to your waka. Man, he's proud. Do you know Poye, he says? Prince what's his name? The big guy. You'd like it. Manaakitanga mutes my thunder, my eyes wide, short-stepping him out of my whare, frightening the fuck out of him, beating my drums at him. Who do you think you are? How dare you? You butcher me still. 200 years on, you insult my house, pissing your corridor everywhere. You represent no one and nothing when you speak. When I speak, my pepeha's standing is anchored to speak with the consent of every single one of my ancestors. She who nursed Koroa through the Pākehā fever, he who married the forbidden, she who plunged into the rapids to rescue children, they who carried their pō from hīkoi to hīkoi across the motu so we could speak, I call to the mountain that forged shelter for us, the ground beneath that remembers every breath loved here, lost here, fighting right at your fucking feet. Their blood, the stratum that reaches forward into the future, accumulating, hardening, speeding into this exact moment, into this very person who matters. It matters what she says. It makes a difference every time, not throwaway, not nothing, not ever alone. I am held up, infused, risk-taking, with the strength of 1,000 hands who demand, shout, or whisper that I dig in my toes, that I make them proud. If I do, they surround me. Words, thoughts, hearts swell up behind me, feet askance, bodies wide open to the sky, voices harmonizing in Waiata that resound, rise up, no longer silent. The bones of Papatūānuku afford speaking rights to all. So good on you, man, for learning the reo. You must be proud. This boat floats. You sent me out to dive the streets, my lipstick smudged on the charcoal of Te Pō and my legs boarded up, stretched. I went beyond to the Atua, clothed by calloused fingers in the string and stocking you gave me. Inside, my arms grew lifted clouds. 30 miles an hour, said the city. 30 miles an hour, said the paint. 30 miles an hour, I said to our babies in their cold blue call. Under the sail I will fly, where the waters rock and the long sheet of corrugated iron has rusted. The grass never seeded properly. It was left to the holocaust of bugs who burrowed in, enthralled by the sunlight, a glint off the top left corner. What play we had on that island. I found a hook, a dowser to lead the way, and wire and lace to lean into. Above me, the sails are torn by wind, but the sun, its fire, bolsters me with magenta. Ride this city, I say. Ride its late night streets over the barbarians. My debris is my forward motion. I am a single poi untethered. Crack open the sky, see that I am more than shellac. Navigate me by flowers and stone. I am gone toward the three fingers of heaven. My dead are there, hung by their own salty cords, for want of a boat that floats.
Hana pira oku. There is a ghost in every machine. We transmit information across a web that has a system that resembles the ocean. Beast mode. Pania of the digital reef. A mouse moves sporadically across a page without any reason. The ghost in the shell. Weight loss supplements. Getting high by the beach. The gallery girl climbing the lower echelons of the institutional ladder. Coconut yogurt. Cash rules everything around me. #cream. #getthemoney. Rejecting Marks for Marks and Spencer, crust punk. Floating to the South Island, smashing on the rocks. Creamy kinna, creamy cunt, the deep web. Breathe in and out. Grief comes in tidal waves like knives. I am porous. Do you remember that time we both cried at the Christchurch airport and you ate Burger King with me for the first time? I cut into the cunt of the kinna and bring the knife down. It splits. My fingertips prick the edges of its shell. Your mother told me I wasn't marry enough because I wasn't like her students. Mariah Carey hair flick. My cousins live in poverty, are prospects, or are in the mob, or on the benefit, or in jail, or Jehovah's Witnesses, or in Australia, so they don't have to deal with the same level of racism that they experienced in New Zealand. Using my fingers, I scoop through the goop and yank out the yellow parts. Hinamoa got raped by our other cousin, and all anyone in our whānau said was that she should keep it in the family instead of the police. Broken glass bottle, her body violated. I always think about how every single body grew inside a womb. Sucking it down, it glides down my throat and smells like a soggy ocean. Rip open my dress and slip your hands up my sweaty thigh. The wet drips. Blood. William Burroughs killed his wife and no one cares. Feel my cunt whimper. Kinna dripping through my fingers. You take all my power. White skin, brown bones, brown soul. It's just that your zodiac sign sucks. White curator tells me I'm cool and it feels like flirting. You're so cool, you live in New York and you know Bunny Rogers. I subtweet you, but I want to send you nudes. Old man cries in a lap dance and tells me I'm special. Prostate cancer, but I made it work. Hashtag sex with me is amazing. Counting the money I've made in my head. Hashtag get the money. Searching for intimacy. Fuck me until I can't see. This is a safe space. My block list on Facebook doesn't fit on one page. Cold dominoes, hateful while typing really hard. Shouting online, trying to be heard. All I want to do is get high by the beach, get high by the beach, get high. I knew you had something in you. Hannah Ake, Akey, Oi Ake, Pira, Hana, Oke, Oku. Your PSAs to renounce any wrongdoing are designed to make yourself look better in light of supporting a known perpetrator. Policeman kicks a homeless man to discover his half-drunk beer. Older white couple with small white Pomeranian gasp in horror. How sad, they say. You see so many Browns who are homeless on K Road. Stronger preventative measures against mental distress and suicide. Policing my intentions, I'm exhausted. Hashtag emotional labor. Kylie Jenner lip challenge, Kylie Jenner lip kit. What if there was a cohesive cultural history in Aotearoa? When other women support men who have raped or sexually assaulted you because I'm friends with both of you, or there are blurred lines in relationships. You just didn't want to believe me. When your whole friend group tells you not to make a fuss, yet calls you out to argue semantics. Other women of color pandering to their white friends. Help them unlearn. Hashtag emotional labor. An old man closes his eyes and clutches his wedding ring, fumbling his hands shake as he gently rubs my breast like a five-year-old. He smells like beer, bad breath, and damp clothes. He comes. You're 100% Pākehā. You're not into all that Māori shit though, eh? Denounce all claim to your Māoriness. You're so exotic. I knew you had something in you. Imagine getting your period and bleeding on every single racist old white man. Blood moon and getting my period. Giving an old man a lap dance when your period is heavy. Teasing him with your arsehole, then laughing in his face and taking his money. It was okay to be Māori because Māori were warriors and we got a treaty, so that's why everything in New Zealand is fine and there's no racism because everyone is equal. Keep calm and carry on. Hashtag we gave them a treaty. Stark White is an actual gallery name. Hashtag no chill. You guessed it, it's white. Hashtag flat white. The gallery director sips lattes and hangs work that looks exactly the same each time. Hashtag edgy white liberals. Chronophonium claimed it was a safe space. My ex-partner who raped me at their festival built a stage for them. They found out and did nothing because he's a nice guy. Silenced. I told you about the time I internalized the racist gaze upon my father. An old white Australian man spat on him and refused to serve our family. Probably because he was brown, but probably because the old man assumed he was Aboriginal. Punch him in the face. My body pulsated with anger. You must be the half-breed. I am my father's daughter. Throw me across the room. Old married doctor brags about being able to make my clit melt. Did you get a hiding? You told me being so partial to so much racism wasn't as bad as being upper middle class, white and queer. Queer invisibility. A lot of white people avoid talking about class, unless of course they are working class, then that trumps racism apparently. Flat lay, hashtag minimal, hashtag cute. Netflix by and by yourself. Safe space in my bed. Alone. The same people who sneered at our boil up with fresh puha are eating watercress, Waldorf salads with quinoa. Hashtag ancient grains, hashtag paleo. appropriate sex worker signifiers for social capital gain via Instagram. You aren't a sex worker, nor do you give a shit about sex workers. Thick skin over heavy limbs, white bones. Be as white as you can. You're so lucky to be so fair, people just think that you're tanned. Hashtag home and away. I thought you had something in you. Brown father, white mother, half breed. But you're not really half. Be proud to be Māori because treaty. Learn internalised racism towards other Pacific cultures, but especially Australian Aboriginals and Samoans. Never forget we're on stolen land, but we are the same. Hierarchical racial class structures are a colonial contraption designed to make us hate each other and stay in line. You're not like how I imagined a Māori. What if access to language, genealogy, whakapapa and marae were all givens? You're not a real Māori, though. You don't know what racism is because you don't experience it daily. White passing pānea of the reef. Feeling the pain of my ancestors, seeing Nana and Taupiri and wanting to sink into the ground with her towards the river. Water sloshing across my hands, finding threads of identity. Use women of colour as props in the construction of your diversity brand. Tell a woman of colour that she is a woman of colour but white passing, but that you need another woman of colour to go with your other woman of colour on the wall, so you put me on the wall. Hashtag intersectionality. Hashtag fashion. Nga mihi without the Macron is a symbolic gesture of your whiteness. Casual slipping in of the reo as a symbolic gesture of being an ally despite stalking and gaslighting a number of women of colour. White female artist attacks young women of colour by calling them racist and misogynistic for speaking to their experiences in white-dominated feminist spaces. Hashtag allies. I'm amazed at your ability to classify how white I am and deny my Māori identity when you are 33% Scottish, 17% Irish, 20% Welsh, 15% German, 13% South African, and 2% milk. But you're not white because Europe, and you're somehow more culturally dislocated than me, despite me being tangata whenua and you being a white woman. Hashtag oppression. Hashtag gaslight me. Hashtag intersectionality. My great-grandfather's tailor shop was on K Road, and now it's a Mexican restaurant. Before that, it was a Starbucks. Privileged Māoriness above everything. Unlearn, decolonize. You said I can't keep friends. I left a friend group that continually expected my emotional labour. Put me down, talk over me, speak for me. My experiences and identity aren't relevant to you. Gentrification is colonization, colonization is gentrification. Let's start a community garden, safer communities together.
You've just listened to Sorority, a performance organized by artist and writer Faith Wilson, whose voice you heard right at the start. Sorority was part of the Enjoy Gallery Book Fair, which happened last month. And as such, I thought an interesting appendix to the recording would be this conversation that I had with Louise Rutledge, who's the Communications and Publications Manager at Enjoy Gallery, just about sort of why a gallery might have a book fair and also why they sort of reached out to poets and writers in Wellington. I also wanted to take this opportunity just to thank all the participants in Sorority. It was amazing. It was an incredible experience to record their work, and I just think this is some of my favourite work of the year, the stuff that's in here. So yes, thank you, and you're awesome. I also just wanted to thank Enjoy Gallery as well. Emma, who is the curator but is now away, goodbye Emma, she's on her way to New York, was incredibly helpful. She let us in the weekend so we could record this, and Louise was amazing. So yes, thank you very much Enjoy Gallery again for first of all putting on this wonderful event, and second of all letting us record this version of it. So thank you very much, and here's my chat with Louise. Louise, I was just wondering if you could explain a little bit about Enjoy Gallery.
Sure. Enjoy Gallery is a non-for-profit gallery that's funded by Creative New Zealand. We're just about to reach our 16th birthday, so we were founded in 2000 at 174 Cuba Street, just up the road, by a group of artists, and then over the years became Enjoy Public Art Gallery. And now we support and facilitate contemporary art projects, and we have a really great publishing program, and we run a lot of events as well.
Awesome. So recently you had the Enjoy Book Fair. It's the second one, isn't it? Yeah. Can you explain a little bit about the idea behind that, perhaps?
Well, I'm the Communications and Publications Manager at the gallery, and I sort of decided to have a book fair last year because there's so many amazing arts publications that I feel have a really short shelf life. Once they've been published, they sort of remain in circulation for a month or a couple of months, but once they reach a year, 2, 3, 4 years, they sort of just get packed away into boxes and gathering dust in galleries. So it was a great opportunity to bring all of these beautiful publications out for people to browse and to purchase and to really sort of connect and support other galleries and design studios and some of the sort of self-publishers that we know through the gallery as well.
I'm going to ask a little bit of an extra question. Mm-hmm. Where does the art book sit as far as contemporary art goes? Like, can you talk a little bit about, you know, sort of publication versus space-based kind of art, maybe? I don't know if that's a question. But
yeah, well, we find with the fair we have such a variety of publications. We have a few zines from sort of art writers. We have, obviously, exhibition catalogues, a lot of journals, and then a few artist books, and that they're books that are the sole representation of the work and the sole way that the work is distributed. And a lot of amazing publications from design studios where, I remember we had one zine and it was all just offcuts and misprints from their risograph, and that was sort of what they had made. So it's a real variety, but they all have some kind of connection to visual art or to research or criticism.
Awesome. So as part of the book fair this year, you had an event called Sorority. And could you talk a little bit about how that came about, or, you know, the sort of interchange between the book fair and the readings kind of side of it?
Well, the first year we had the book fair, we had Late Night Book Club on one of the nights, which had readings and had people talking about their favourite publications. And then this year we decided to separate out the two events. So we had The Things We Love, which was a late night book club on opening night, which you were part of, and lots of people spoke beautifully about publications that were either at the fair or that they were just really inspired or interested in. And then we wanted to have a reading night as well. Emma's the curator and manager here, aren't so sort of, I guess, in touch with the literary crowd, and it's not our area of interest, but we didn't know who to approach, so.
Oh, here's Emma now. Hi, Emma. Oh, no, it's good to see you. Good morning. Hey, it's good to see you.
I remember going to Lit Crawl last year and seeing Faith and Coco Solid and two other women speak, and it was such an amazing evening. I had so much fun at Lit Crawl, and I know that Faith was involved in helping organise that, so we thought who better to approach to organise a night of readings than someone who has a much better knowledge of people who would be great to invite into the space.
Awesome. And it was such a great night, eh?
It was so amazing. I mean, we approached Faith and sort of left it open to her as to who she could invite and what they would bring into the gallery. And I think that was really important, and that we just sort of gave this as a space that we could host something and had tea and had beanbag, so hope it was sort of warm and inviting, and it was so nice to see such a different group of people here. People that may not have been to Enjoy before, but knew some of the speakers, and a lot of the speakers I'd never heard read before or knew their work. So yeah, it was great to sort of bring a different community into the gallery and support their work.
It was fantastic. Thanks heaps, Louise.